Good morning.
Good morning.
I got really excited when I found out that Ashby was going to be here today. It's always wonderful to be here. This is my second home, church home. But anyway, 'tis the season. Decorations are beautiful. How many of you have your homes decorated? I can't put mine up, but good for you. Good for you. And as Karen said, this is the second week of Advent, which is peace. So my question is, do we want to be peace or have peace?
Have peace.
Maybe both, huh? We'll see. And you might think, aren't they the same? But they're not. Mm-hmm. They're not. One of my and you may remember this, one of my favorite scriptures is about peace. It's John 14:27, and it reads, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." And I've always been struck by that. I had just a knowing that that was true, but I wondered why. Why is that? So we're going to look just a little bit at how they're different. And how we can, if we want to be peace, because that's the ideal, how we can go about being peace. From this book that Karen mentioned, this With Love at Christmas, I found a sentence for today, I think, that I really liked. And it says, "Holding the truth of our divine nature while managing the beautiful messiness of being human." Yeah, that's what I want. So let's consider peace as the world gives. First of all, that peace is dependent on external conditions, right? It's pretty hard to be peaceful, for example, if you lived on the Gaza Strip, when there's, you know, devastation and bombing, and that's pretty hard. I don't know about you, but as a parent, when things are out of kilter with me and my kid, you know, it's just like, I can't be really peaceful until we've cleared the air and got settled again. Peace, as the world gives, is dependent on external conditions to a large degree. And it can be fleeting. It can be here one moment and then gone. And then come back. And then be gone again. And it can be shattered in an instant. We're familiar with, comfortable might even be truer, with the temporary experience of peace. It's wonderful to get those little breathers, you know, when it just feels like all is well in my world. I don't care what's going on. Everything's fine right here. Sometimes it's possible, maybe not easy, to be peaceful in difficult situations. Do you know where I was last Monday afternoon? I was on Interstate 270 in the snow for 3.5 hours, almost 3.5 hours. I went to work because it was a Monday, and on Monday we do the donations and make the bank deposit and all that. It had not started snowing. And my understanding was that it was going to start snowing later in the afternoon, you know. So I went in and I was working away, and I thought, I'll probably leave around 11:30 or 12. And it was about 11:45, and I looked up the window and it was starting to snow. Okay, we're going now. So I gathered up all my stuff and I hopped in the car and started out. And I did pretty good until I got to 270 and 44, and then things started slowing down. And it's still snowing, and there's lots more people that are getting on the highway, and I'm feeling okay, you know. I'm feeling, tried to be in the moment, you know, because that really helps a lot, so everything is okay. We're just crawling along. I wasn't too worried about sliding because we weren't going fast enough to slide anywhere. And the closer I got to 270 and 70, the slower it got, till finally, I was stopped. This lane, they weren't whizzing by. Nobody was whizzing at all. The this lane was moving, this lane was moving, I was not. And I sat there for, I think, almost an hour, literally. And then my peace started raveling a bit, and I could feel myself just getting real antsy, like, I have to move, we gotta do something here, this is not, I can't do this. So I decided I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna go down to the St. Charles Rock Road exit and then come back and see if I can't get to it that way. I got down a little ways. I thought I was closer to the exit ramp than I was, but I passed two tractor trailers that were stopped. So I think that was what was holding everything up. I'm sure they're gone now, but how long it took them to move. But the beautiful thing was, once I got past them, then it was pretty clear. The ramp that went up, you know, to put me on 70 was there, and I got on slowly, slowly. I think the fastest I went was somewhere between 15 and 20. Ooh. The whole trip. Wow. The whole freaking trip. So, and I got a dog at home, you know, waiting for me to come home. So anyway, so that I made it. I made it. But just that experience of, I was so grateful that I wasn't as upset as I might have been. You know, I was comfortable. I had plenty of gas, except for that time when I was sitting still for such a long time. Yeah. I was fine. So that's that part was like up and then down and then up and then down. Mm-hmm. Peace is not always there. And I wrote it here, it feels like a roller coaster, mm-hmm. right? Peaceful, then an upset, and then back to peace, and then maybe another upset. So as the world gives, that's pretty common. Peace is like that. So what then is Jesus's peace like? Well, first of all, it isn't dependent on, it's not even involved with world situations, world conditions. It's from God. It's an inner alignment. We talk about this every week, that alignment with that divine that is in us, what we call our Christ self. Our meditation times here, you know, we know what we do. We my intent is to make people feel safe and relaxed. We bring the lights down, and then often there's soft music. We do this to prepare. To first have peace, as the world gives, and then as we meditate, we can experience that deep connection, that alignment, that peace that comes in the comes to us when we are aligned and meditating. That's Jesus' peace. The peace that Jesus spoke of is stable. We can use the Gospels for many, many, many examples of how Jesus stayed peaceful in sometimes the most extreme situations, difficulties. The arrest and the crucifixion. The only time that we read anything that seems to be human or worldly about it was when he cried out, my God, hast thou forsaken me? But the rest of the time, all of those, he treated as though this is what's destined to happen. This is supposed to be happening this way. He was calm. He was peaceful. Teaching and healing throughout the area, he was constantly doing that. Even as the priests and the scribes were constantly on him, trying to get him to stop doing those things, healing and so forth. Lazarus' resurrection was another example of, we see just a moment of humanness, I guess. The shortest verse in there is Jesus wept. You know, when Mary and Martha told Jesus that Lazarus, their brother, had already died. But then he called everybody there. He just that instant, and then he was right back aligned, being peace. He prayed. And then he called Lazarus out, and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. there's a reason why we call Jesus our master teacher, our way shower, because as we look at the things that he did, the way he did them, we can use those as our teachings for how can we do this? How can we be like this? I want to tell a story. I may have told it here before. I apologize if I've had. But many years ago when I was taking classes, they called them CEP classes back then. This was in the 90s. And a woman named Linda Poole Kennedy was the minister at Unity Southeast, I think. And she was teaching a class that I was taking. They had adjunct teachers back in that day. And she told a story about an experience that she had, which was that a family member had passed away, and she was going to the house where the family was all gathering. She said she got there, and when she walked in, there was just much crying and wailing and just, you know, just chaos. Everybody was so upset. And the way she described what she did was she said she centered herself, and then she went to the center of the room and closed her eyes. And then she put her arms up like this and then slowly began turning. Didn't say a word. She just continued to turn slowly, slowly in the center of the room. And she said that the crying began to lessen and so, until it finally stopped. This peace that she was being, she was exuding. And the room was made more peaceful by her presence and her actions. Powerful minister, that lady. So if we were to look at the world's peace and Jesus' peace, metaphysically we can see that Jesus' peace arises from realizing one's own oneness with God. We say that every week too. I am one with God. Or I do, anyway. And when we are resting, when we are at one with God, we are resting in that love and in that joy and that peace that we are as one with God. In the world, the mind attempts to feel safe by controlling appearances. Now, do we ever do that? I do. A scripture example of this is Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, if you remember. And now a normal human reaction would be absolute terror, right? Mm-hmm. You want to do anything to get away from there, run away, hide. But what happened was he went in there willingly. God protected him. He was one with God. Mm-hmm. And there was a noticeable peace in what he did. And he was fine. He wasn't hurt. Came back out. Have you been in the presence of someone who is exuding peace? It is amazing because it's an energy, and I really believe in we are energetic beings, and so we can feel peace. Today, in these times, there are lots of us stressed, worried people who go to great lengths to maintain a status quo. There is so much that is happening in our world that is frightening, terrifying sometimes, sad, unbelievably sad sometimes. And so all we can control, we can't control anything, just letting you know, but we think we can. So we try to make our world as stable and unchanging as possible, because at least then I know this is going to be the same until it's not. You know? It has been said that change is the only constant, which I believe to be true. So maintaining peace will help us to live in a much more relaxed and enjoyable way so that we can enjoy life. We're not constantly... It's like holding on, tensed, and I can't let this change because I'm peaceful now. I don't want anything else to disturb this. Mm-hmm. But we can be relaxed when we begin to be peace, have peace, and then be peace. Mm-hmm. I believe that we need to use our fifth basic principle, mm-hmm. practice our beliefs to be as peaceful as possible. Now what about Advent? In Unity, we celebrate Advent as a time of preparation and celebration of Jesus' birth and the reawakening of our inner Christ self. This preparation is what I call walking the talk, that fifth principle that will help us experience faith, peace, love, and joy in this season and throughout the year. When we say we prepare for Christmas, I mean, we look around and everything's beautiful and we imagine the wonderful spread that's going to be on the table, and we see ourselves getting with family members and laughing and having a wonderful time, and yet it takes preparation for that to happen. I like this. This week we practice being peace. I think control is impossible, as I've said, but managing is the best way to have peaceful experiences. And perhaps the better we can plan and anticipate, the better chance we have of minimizing potential mishaps. Sitting on a highway for 3.5 hours. In the outer, we must buy and wrap the gifts before we can give them to the people. Having the family over for the meal means that we have to figure out some sort of menu, a dual meal planning thing, and then we have to go to the store, and we have to buy it, and then we have to prepare it, and then we have the whole timing thing, you know, getting it all on the table. I was never good, even when I was having the family over at times, I was never good at getting everything on the table hot. Most of it was hot, but there were a few dishes that never made it hot, you know. So we have all these preparations. That's just for the shopping, the eating, and the gifts. There's so much. If we don't do that, preparing for the celebration and for this renewal, we're leaving ourselves up to chance. So our part in this, they say that we are God's hands and feet. So we need to do that and be that, do as much as we can, and then trust that God is there, rely on God, be at one with God, and move forward. We also need to watch our rest and our diets. Being exhausted on Christmas Day will possibly make us short-tempered and cranky, right? We can think about these things ahead of time so we have it sort of laid out and the best chance of it happening the way we're envisioning keeps us peaceful, at least until something happens that maybe changes it. And then we can go back as quickly as we can. If we've done all this, as planning and so forth, and we've included spiritual time along the way, excuse me, we'll have a much better chance of holding that sentence I read, holding the truth of our divine nature while managing the beautiful messiness of being human. Be human, but prepare, and you can do both. Just for a moment, imagine what it might be like to move through this Christmas season with ease, enjoying the moment that we're with loving family members and friends. Imagine that we can, when we spend time with others, that we bring love, joy, and peace into our interactions with those others. And that they and we feel safe, loving, and peaceful. It is not only possible, but likely if and as we practice Advent. We celebrate and prepare for the coming of the Christ. My wish for each and every one of us is to have a joyous, loving, and peaceful holiday season. May your times with loved ones be wonderful, your celebrations joyful and rejuvenating, and may your life be filled with the amazing peace that Jesus told us about. Merry Christmas. Let's practice this peace. If you're comfortable doing so, allow yourself to gently close your outer eyes. and we begin to relax. Perhaps we're tired, so the physical rest feels really good. We are safe. We are here among like-minded, loving people. There is nowhere else to be, nothing else to do in this moment. We can just be present here with each other in the quiet and in the love. Perhaps do a mental scan from the top of your head all the way down your body to find those places that might be tense, where you're holding on. And then consciously and purposely relax those areas. Our minds don't like to be quiet, but as our bodies have relaxed, we can use our breath to keep the relaxation there, and then to keep a focus so that the thoughts just sort of come and go across the screens of our minds, but not distracting. We sort of mentally listen, not for any outer sign but just have a listening attitude within, from within, as if and as we are aligned and connected with our source, our creator. There is that power that's there. We can feel it. And we just stay open and receptive in our minds and hearts as we are at one, aligned, willing. In this alignment, often we find just exactly what we need. Sometimes we might know what it is and bring that into this quiet time, or sometimes it might just arise out of our subconscious mind. If we need guidance, if we need comfort, if we need strength, if we're celebrating joy, love, we are fully present with the divine. So let's take a few moments now in silence, being at one with that presence, to be and to have peace in the silence. We breathe ourselves back into this space. We are so grateful. We're so grateful for so many things. We're grateful for this time together. We're grateful for the love and the support of these fellow Unity people. We're grateful for all of the blessings that we have in our lives. We're grateful for the awareness and the knowledge of that divinity, that power that we each have. And we rest in the trust, in the awareness, and in the love. We are so very grateful. And as we bring this time to a close, let us repeat together the words that Jesus taught us as the perfect prayer, our Lord's Prayer. Together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.